Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you guys doing today? Do we have people? I'm not seeing mine come on, but we'll get that fixed up. Let me make sure we're broadcasting here. Always good when somebody drops a comment in if they are seeing me. You have people, all right. That's all I need. That's all I need is one loud and clear, and I'm totally happy to do. I'm going on with that. Good to see you guys. Good morning. I hope everybody had a chance to look at Mission yesterday. Showed my wife that one, and she said, "Man, that was a lot to put in 21 minutes." So, the voices. So, drop a comment in there if I can indeed help clarify that some more, and I'm happy to spend a little time looking at Mission and the steps that led up to it, the actions, beliefs. Results, you know, how those all jive together. My brain was clear, and maybe your mileage may have varied. Let's take a look at something today, though. There is an almond-sized chunk of your brain way deep down in the center of the brain, and that little sucker right there, that reptilian complex in the center there, it hates fast action. I promise you, if we could talk to it, it's mad that you're here. It tries to turn everything that I say and you hear. Sometimes those two are very different for anyone who has ever taught a class, what you say and what the person hears. Sometimes those vastly vary. But the bottom line is it tries to turn everything I say and everything you hear into nonsense. It tosses out thoughts for you to hear, like, this is stupid, or it won't work for me, or I shouldn't be doing this. And other gems, but it really operates in the realm of just two words, fight or flight. It's the survival part of the brain. And for better or for worse, it's one of the factors that has gotten each of us where we are today. The R complex, or lizard brain, as it's oftenly called, has barely evolved. You know, we did that thing yesterday where we talked about the football field. Hopefully you guys got to see that video. Man, is that insane. That football field and how human existence is that little wire in the middle of the filament at the very, very, very end. As entrepreneurs and entertainers, though, we piss off that little nugget of matter, of brain matter, all the time. Oh, my God, jumping onto a stage? Are you kidding me? Telling jokes, singing, creating, playing an instrument, putting ourselves out there financially, emotionally, energetically. You want to see a happy lizard brain? Find someone with a steady job who drives the same route to work, lives in the same house, and reads the same content for 60 years. That lizard brain has won. That lizard brain looks at our lives as entertainers and has only six words to say. Fight, flight, fight, flight, fight, flight. It's out of there. So there is the myth piece that I want to talk about today. Just for a second, you know, it's the one that tells us, that culture tells us that you can't beat the lizard brain. We are who we are. That's a saying that I've heard since I was a kid. And what a scary concept. As entertainers, entrepreneurs, we have faced the limiting soundtrack of culture that tells us to behave, right? To have something to fall back on. I know we've all heard that our art is best suited to be a hobby. And we've stood up to that countless times. We've stood up to the lizard brain. And many times we have ended the encounter standing tall, standing on top of it. And occasionally we have been at the bottom wondering where we went wrong, where it all ended, where we went off track. When we are told to find our place in line, in our best moments, we stand up and dance in a circle. And when the lizard brain gets in the way of our fast action, we do what we're going to talk about today. We sneak up on that little sucker. So sneaking up on ourselves, I had to write this down actually because I've done it so much in my life, and organizing the thoughts for this has been fantastic. But sneaking up on ourselves, this is a crazy little game that I've played with myself for as long as I can remember. And if I'm totally honest with myself, sneaking up is the grandfather of my love for fast action. You know, it was the the part of me that loved improvising on stage, the part of me that loved doing corporate shows for clients where every show was that little bit different, where I got to incorporate their product or their message or their audience, their competitors. You know, that stuff the lizard brain isn't exactly pleased with. Like I said, the guy's 60 years driving to the same job, living in the same home, reading the same stuff. So sneaking up on myself is a way to organize and execute a plan without the lizard brain grabbing the reins. Yep, that's the thing. It's one part telling on myself, it's one part organizing a plan, and it's one part flying without a safety net. So those three working together is what sneaking up on ourselves is what we're going to do. And that's our fast action for today. We're going to have some fun with this. And while I've been sneaking up on my fear since I was a kid, I have to give a tip of the hat to Byron Katie, author of a number of books, one called The Work, though the only one I've ever read, really seen videos on the others and a TED Talk on one. But she has taken so much of what I do here, what I've done my whole life with this, and put it into simple steps. And if you find yourself ever wondering what to do for 30 minutes, you can do a whole lot worse than watching a video of her talk, and I'll for sure post one on the replay page for this. I teach about this in the sugar-free world. I mean, when we deal with something as ancient as our relationship to sugar and our growing dependency on sugar, as the leader of the 30-day sugar-free, I've been talking about the lizard brain for probably 6 years, how we, you know, how we have to overcome that. We have to sneak up on ourselves. We have to do little tricks to bypass those old ancient habits. And I've used this when I taught a blind man, a lifelong blind man, how to juggle. I used this sneaking up on ourselves with him, and it worked so well. We found little ways to just sneak up on the lizard brain for him that's saying, I can't juggle. And that man ended up coming out on stage and juggling three balls during a TED Talk we gave. Big, big time. I use this as a parent all the time, sneaking up on myself. Some recent encounters where I was really projecting a lot of my life and my beliefs onto my son, I got to sneak up on myself and do what we're going to do right now and ask myself some big questions. And I use it in business to think bigger and overcome fears all the time. So without actually, is this one great? Look at this. That's right. The lizard brain. It's all my fault. I love that. So funny. And then here's our favorite icon, Homer Simpson, the full operating system in there. And just a quick picture of Byron Katie in case you come across her online. Just wanted to share that. So let's talk about sneaking up on ourselves. Today we're going to each sneak up on ourselves. And once you do it, you'll have this skill in your bag of tricks for the rest of your life. You know, on that questionnaire you filled out right after joining this, the last question is, what's one specific idea that you've sat on for too long? Remember, I asked you that at the very bottom. And a couple people didn't answer it, and I went back and emailed and pegged them because I knew we were coming to this day where we were going to actually dig into it. And we're going to dig into it a lot more, actually. I probably wrote you back and invited you in some way or another to make that idea you sat on for too long. Is that the focus you want to look at during this 21 days of fast action? So a little bit of preparatory work on the first 3 days, and you'll see we're going to be touching in on that right now. So have that idea in front of you right now. Read it to yourself as we begin to sneak up on ourselves. I know you remember it. It's why you're here. In fact, here, I have this. I made this. Let me see. Yeah, let me share this. Oh, I don't know. Let me see if I can get this big enough for you guys to read. Scan down this. You can see that you're not alone. Here, let me 150 this. You can see that you're not alone in having ideas that you've sat on for too long. I just grabbed all of ours from our surveys. And maybe you'll see yours in here if you don't have it handy in front of you right now. I just want to run down these so you can see it. Yeah, so these are what you told me you've been sitting on for too long. All right. So with those in front of you in mind, it's why you're showing up. Put it in writing in front of you. And I don't know if you're doing this in the chat on this, if you have a notepad. I really hope you had a notebook for this whole 21 days. It's, it will, in all honesty, become a bestseller written by you for you that you could refer back to at any time when you need to take fast action. So put it in front of you, what you wrote down, you're sitting on for too long, and instantly feel the lizard brain right now as you look at it. Maybe you close your eyes and just, what's that statement that comes up to you as you're contemplating that piece you've sat on for too long that you're ready to take fast action on? What's the lizard brain saying to you? Open your eyes back up and write it down. Write down the one that's the loudest. And I said up above that this is part telling on yourself, and this is the telling on yourself part. You don't need to share this with anyone, and you can if you'd like. What's the thing the lizard brain is saying to you the loudest? Okay, you got that down, either in your head or written on paper. So now I want you to ask a question of yourself. I want you to ask yourself, when you contemplate that loud voice, is that true? Is what the lizard brain just said to you, is that true? Are you blaming it on the lizard brain? Is that statement true? Is it absolutely true? Proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Does anyone have a lizard brain? This is interesting to ask. Does anyone have a lizard brain statement right now that's absolutely true? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. The negative voice that it's saying to you about what you've sat on for too long, about your idea, about your creation. Does anyone have one that's absolutely true, indisputably true? If you do, type it in the comments. I'd love to see that. Fear, too much work, no return. Yeah, awesome, James. Textbook. Are you kidding me? Fear, too much work, no return. Textbook. That could be the caption for this little sucker right here. Perfect. You know what it's saying is, I won. I'm the 60-year-old guy. Good. We're going to do something that jumps on that. Jim, good job throwing that in there. Thank you. So we're going to play in that shadow zone. If it's not proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is a shadow zone right there. That little slice where you, the creator, still has a belief that you can make this. That's where we're going to play in. The place where that statement isn't true. So I'm going to ask you real quick, what is the opposite of that voice? So the one James wrote is excitement. It's simple, and I'm going to get rich off it. That's the opposite, right? Excitement. It's going to be easy, and I'm going to get freaking rich off it. How about that one, Jim? So get that one written on your paper. Put it in your notes here, actually. I'd love to see them stacked. Yeah, it works. Good. So all you guys do that. Get your one on paper. You know, we're not spending a ton of time on the teaching piece of this day. We're going right into the action because I want this to be very interactive. I want you to take this away with a template that you can use whenever you want. Good, 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 good. So the opposite of that voice, you guys got the one written above, the loudest lizard voice, and then you have the opposite of that one. And go crazy on that opposite one. You know, on Jim's, I didn't say, I'm not afraid. I didn't voice him in the negative. I went right for the positive. I didn't say, I'm not afraid. I can do the work and I may make some money on it. We're going the total opposite on this thing. It's exciting. It's going to be easy. I'm going to get rich off it. So get those on all of yours. Ooh, this is good. Good stuff. All right, now I want to ask you to close your eyes again for a second. Close your eyes for a second. Picture the lizard. And let me ask you this. Who do you become when you believe that lizard voice? And we're going to actually write this down. Who do you become when you believe that lizard voice. Do you become scared? Do you become small? Do you become someone you know? Do you become a parent? When I used to believe my lizard voices, I said, I become my dad when I believe this. I became everything I saw in him that I didn't like when I believed this voice. So get that clear on paper or on your notepad, wherever you're writing this. Who do you become when you believe that lizard voice? You getting it? Seeing that? Good. So the next one, and some of you may have guessed this, who are you? And we're in the present on this. Who are you when you live into that opposite voice? All right. Who's Jim when he lives into this is exciting, it's going to be easy, and I'm going to get rich off it? Who is he? Is he the ultimate successful version of himself? Is he someone he knows, who he idolizes? Is he an icon? Is he a leader? Who are you when you believe that opposite voice from the lizard voice, when you live into it? Take a minute, write that down. A real good contemplation. And who do we move between? Do we slide back and forth between these two during a normal day? Do we waver during the creation process? Oh my God, do we ever? Who are we and who are we? So let's have a little bit of fun right now. Oh, I don't have my other mic. I think you can probably hear me. I'll speak up. Who are we? Who are we when we do this? Let's make up a character name for ourselves. I'd love to see some of these, either in the chat here or in the comments on the page or email to me, whatever. What's a nickname? You know, the lizard brain works in those two words, fight or flight, right? Those are, your lizard brain is also responsible for mating. It's also what gives us our desire to spread our seed and reproduce. So it's got another function. But who are we? What's a nickname that we can pin on ourselves when we're believing the lizard brain and when we're believing the opposite voice? I want to see those, man. Grab names for those. Those are so cool. That's cool. I didn't even think of us doing that today, but I love that. So let me hear who you are when you're in the lizard and when you're in the power voice. All right, very good. So from that place, I want you guys now to write down that idea that works for you. I made one up for Jim on the chat, but write down that one that works for you, that new statement that's opposite of what you put, the one that you've sat on for too long. When I first asked you to do that, you got the lizard brain statement out, that one that it was saying to you the loudest. Now let's write the opposite of that one down. Write the statement that's true about your idea when you are in your power. This is all this is the runway for our taking off into our fast action, and we're going to hit that in just a minute. The Kremlin, Gretchen, and Super Sarah. My work is done for the day, and it's 7:15, 7:20. Oh my gosh, so cool. Very good. All right, let's move into this. Quick now, we're going to write three fast actions that we will take. I'm going to get these on paper for you, actually. Let me put these on a note for you here. We're going to write three fast actions that we will take. Three fast actions that you'll take in the next 24 hours to move forward. This is the sneaking up on ourselves, you guys. Yeah. This is this guy right here. This is you sneaking up and grabbing back your power. We're going to write three fast actions that you'll take in the next 24 hours to move forward. And we're going to write one scary fast action you will take in the next 48 hours to kill that lizard voice. And it's a little bit of like what we did yesterday with the mission, where we have some sort of a physical boom to bring it back. We are going to do three fast actions you'll take in the next 24 hours to move forward on that idea you've sat on for way too long. And we're going to write one scary fast action you'll take in the next 48 hours to kill the lizard voice. And as a little bit of frosting, sugar-free frosting, you're going to agree to sneak, to never speak about that idea in anything except the present tense again. All right. So I am creating this. We're not putting it off. Every time we speak about it in the present, we steal the power from the lizard voice. All right, you guys. Grab a picture of that. Write that down on your phone. I want you to jump on these today. This is your responsibility. This is your work today. So three fast actions you'll take in the next 24 hours, and dang it, get on them. And then that big one, that's the big one. What's the scary one? The one that you hoped I wouldn't ask you to write down. 48 hours on that one till Monday morning. So make it something you can do. It's scary. That's going to multiply your impact on it. All right, good. Let's jump into a question here. I know we're running a tad late, but there we go. Boom. This is from Brian, who's awesome.
Good morning, Barry. This is Brian. So I decided to ask this question because this is something that has kind of crept up over and over in my life, and I'm sure it maybe has crept up in somebody else's life as well. And that is, how do you handle a situation where you feel unqualified? So you contact someone about doing a show and you perceive them to be above you, as you say, and they say, well, I hold a PhD in humor studies, and what qualifies you to come and speak in front of my group? And so what ends up happening is you feel a little bit unqualified, or you feel a little bit intimidated by a client. And so that keeps you from fast action. That really keeps you from contacting them back, or sending them the packet, or sending them whatever it is that they require in order for you to get that particular gig. So how do you handle the feeling unqualified factor? Thank you.
All right. A couple things right off the bat. Awesome Christmas sweater. Awesome Christmas tree. You're into the spirit nice and early, Brian. That's cool. And then, you know, this is just an amazing time for me to point out something that is so important in life and in business and growth, and that is to state something like that in I statements. You know, I could get into it. We could dig into it. But Brian used you all the time. And when I hear something like that, I'm rejecting it because it's not my reality. So what Brian was asking is, what happens when I feel underqualified when I do this? And every one of them was a you. So be really conscious, Brian, first off. And thanks for sending the question. And I want to just give you a bonus on this, is things like this. Boy, own it. Because once we own something, we can begin to change it. Goes great to our mission yesterday, right? Once we own that, then we can do the action and get the results we want. So side note. Now, on to what you were asking about, the imposter syndrome. I mean, that is exactly where you're at. So the truth is, Brian, you're going to overcome that by not trying to compete on anybody else's wavelength. You are an entertainer. You're a talent. You don't need to play by any other rules. You know, I've gotten to be on the main stage at TED 6 times, 2 weeks of college in my life. And if I tried to attack that from an academic place, I would never have even been allowed in the room. So the truth is, find what's important to you. Create content that is so powerful. And if you're going to use that one from the humor studies, I've been to that International Humor Studies Conference in Ithaca, and I showed up as an attendee and ended up doing a bit of a presentation because they just learned who I was and what I was talking about. And I said something to somebody and they had me go up on the stage and talk about it. This is going way back, I think like 92 or 93. It was in Ithaca, New York. But I was just in the area in Atlantic City, and I heard that was happening and went up there and ended up on a very academic stage speaking about an experience. So we can never compete on the same level as muggles. I mean, I will just come out right out and say it. If we ever think we need to play that game, we've grabbed the wrong bat to head up to the plate. The truth is we don't have a bat that looks anything like what the other players are using. Brian, don't ever look at yourself through those eyes. And if you do want to look at yourself through those eyes, make sure you're well suited with the right degrees or whatever it is. But I tell you, you weren't put here to play the game that way. So find what's unique in you, create content that makes them not wonder if you're qualified, but makes them wonder, can I get this person? Make that your litmus test when you're creating content or putting something out or writing something or making a video or making a proposal, telling a conference how you're going to change their life. Don't let them compare it to anything they've ever thought of before, all right? Only have them asking themselves, geez, I wonder if this guy's available. All right, you guys, I know we're four minutes late. Got to tighten my schedule. Good, really good to be with you guys today. Look forward to reading anything you write in the comments on the replay page. Drop me emails, and I will see you on Sunday. We'll do a Sunday version. There is fast action on Sunday. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.